values and takes away your specialness. Yes. You're not just an animal. Listen, if I was just an animal, I would eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow I'm going to die and there's nothing greater to live for. But I'm telling you, it says in Ephesians 2:20, before the foundation of the world, He planted in you DNA. I call it spiritual DNA. He gave you a plan, good works for you to do. Every one of you, there was written before you were even born. You were not just an accident. If the Lord, if your mom, if your dad, if the devil or somebody comes along and says you were an accident, it's a lie. It was planned. Accidents don't have lists in heaven of what to accomplish, what to do, your purpose. Your greatest purpose is walking with the supernatural creator of the universe, which is mind-blowing. We live in a society that is so steeped in rationalization and enlightenment that if we can't figure it out with our minds, it's not true. Listen, that is such arrogance and hubris. Who am I to say I have it so figured out that I can say, get rid of this over here? It is just, there's something in man that this arrogance rises up. But I'm telling you, we can communicate with the God of the universe. That's what your spirit does. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead, comes and lives in part of that, of you. That's the part that when Adam and Eve were created, and, well, Adam was created there, he was just lying there. He was like a gorilla. It's flesh and bones and bits and whatever else. Until you go back and read in the first two chapters of Genesis, he came along and breathed into him. What did he breathe? Some of his life into him. And that's what makes you special.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Now you also, so you got your spirit, you got your soul, and obviously your body. When you get saved, your body doesn't get saved. If we're out of shape beforehand, we're out of shape now. And we have to keep working on it. It's the same with your soul. Everybody has a soul. This is the part that's eternal too. This is your where your mind is, your emotions is, your will is, personality, consciousness. That's there. And it says in Romans 12:2 that we have to renew our minds. What does that mean? That at one time, before the foundation of the world, your mind, if you'd been raised in a perfect environment, thought like he does. But now he says you have to have the mind of Christ. That means we have to work at thinking like him.
Yes.
And so when we get saved, we may be saved and the Holy Spirit's inside of us and we're going to heaven, but we have to learn now to change our habits to what would Jesus do or did when he was here on earth.
That's right.
How does he live?
That's right.
And so those are the principles in life. Now, a lot of times people, and that's to help us to have stronger minds, stronger emotions, and get our will corrected. Now, a lot of times in Christianity, they think trying to align ourselves with these habits and thoughts is Christianity. No, Christianity is one thing. Believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, accepting them into our lives, and having a relationship with them. These other things is just to make our souls stronger and to walk like He would walk.
Yes, sir.
Let's do a crude example. You know, I'm not in the greatest shape. But the Bible says, take care of your bodies. It's a temple unto the Lord. If I sign up at Planet Fitness and go over there every day and work out and do the rules to renew my body, does that make me a Christian?
No.
No, it's just trying to honor what I have and to live the best life that I possibly can.
Right.
It's the same with these habits. Christians just have this thing in them. I want to live by rules. I want to live by actions. And they think God loves them more if they don't. I think God loves them or doesn't love them as much if they don't and do. And it's not. It's about a relationship, but He knows these things affect you. We talked about this today will be 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth enemy of the soul. We're going to close, this will be the last time I talk about it. We talked about never resting. If you don't rest, you're going to wear your mind out and emotions. There's plenty of tapes online that you can go talk about. We talked about worry and fear. Worry and fear are things that sap our strength and keep us from moving. Fear is a big deal. When you rest, the Lord gives you insight of how to move and what to do. And as soon as you step out, how many of you have those little nagging thoughts? Well, what if this happens? The what if questions. And fear comes in to rob. In the rest, he gives us a vision of our future as we pray. There may even be prophetic words, maybe Bible verses. He'll show you, I want you to work on this area. And as soon as you move out, fear comes in. Amen. It's just normal. Just expect it. But say, I'm going to overcome and go through this.
Hallelujah.
Think of it this way. If you were if the Lord showed you something to do, and He gave you 10 times the resources you needed to do it, money, time, people, would you be fearful anymore?
No.
No. Just assume, I've got the 10 times the resources and move. And He'll do it. Regret. Mm. We spent a long time on this. Mm. Well, this happened, or that happened, or bad things happened. I'm just, you know, I don't want to beat that over the head, but just take it before the Lord, and He can change anything.
Right,
Paul, the Apostle Paul was a murderer, and he ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament and found in most of the churches in the New Testament. I don't think there's any murderers in here. If you are, still, it applies. We talked a little bit about unforgiveness and offense, especially towards God. James talked about it about a month ago. Quite more detail, so I didn't go on that part of it. But today, this is what I want to talk about, is obstacles, hard circumstances. What do we do with these things? When you start moving out, see, the whole world is aligned against Christianity for the most part. The world does not want to see you succeed. I mean, if you've got relatives that just aggravate the daylights out of you. And you start doing something. You start doing something, they just come against you. Maybe you have a spouse like that or kids. What do you do with obstacles? And what do you do with circumstances? This is what we don't do. This is an enemy of our soul when we live under the circumstances. And the circumstances dictate our moving forward. This is a big deal. See, I've always been taught, or thought, I don't know if I've been taught, obstacles are all of the devil and to be avoided. Nice, cushy life in a recliner. With a soda there, and your favorite high-carb meal, or comfort food, or whatever it is. I'm here to tell you today that God could remove all these obstacles and circumstances, but how come He doesn't? And that's what we want to talk about. I want us to change our mindset on obstacles and circumstances so that you can be a victorious person.
Yes, sir.
I'm here to tell you, God is committed to you getting into your destiny, you fulfilling your purpose, you having a prosperous life, although His definition is probably a little different than ours. He is committed to this. Now, with circumstances and obstacles, He has typically two methods that He takes care of them. The first one is He just sovereignly just does it. You got a financial problem, you need $10,000, a check comes in for $10,000. I love it when that happens. That's the sovereign move of God. The second way that he mostly moves is not to deliver you from the circumstances, but to help you go through the circumstances,
yes,
so that then you have victory over the circumstances.
Yes, sir.
His goal is not to deliver you in this sense. His goal is to mature you,
yes,
to look like Him and to handle circumstances like Him.
Now,
what age do you usually just give stuff to people at?
Whenever.
When they're little toddlers. They come to you, Daddy, can I have this? You know, we're at the MAPCO, I really want that slushie.
Right.
And so he just buys them the slushie.
Yeah.
When they're 17 and they just made $50 that week and they spent it all. And they ask for that slushie. If you're a good parent, you're going to say, where did the $50 go? Well, X, Y, Z. Well, you already spent your money. You need to mature, grow, and learn how to budget.
Hallelujah.
The point is this. He does sovereignly stuff for you all of your life. But many of you have noticed as you get older what He would bail you out in the past. He doesn't bail you out quite as often now. It's not to punish us, but it's to teach us how to walk in victory and how to overcome things. Because when you walk through stuff and you overcome it, you're more mature, you're more well-balanced, and you have authority over it.
Amen.
So one of the reasons, so this is what I want to share three things with you about obstacles. View obstacles as opportunities. Now this is going to take a major mindset, at least for me. My kids never do this, so this is just an example. But when your kids are being rebellious and they're screaming at you or hollering at you, or they just say no, how many of you have this little thing that rises up? I want to kill them. And if mama's not here, they will die. Okay? Now, maybe they deserve to be killed and die. Don't take that literally. You know, their attitudes are not good. And many times I'm like, God, deliver me.
Yeah.
Put your own situation in. Deliver me. All right, now, so the deal with the kids is a whole other thing. But this is an opportunity that if you see God allows circumstances, obstacles, problems to come in and stay, because first, He's wanting to see develop something in me. So put it from my perspective. What do you think? See, this is the question when obstacles come. What is this obstacle or circumstance intended for?
Yes, sir.
There's nothing just by accident with God.
No.
What is this obstacle intended for? What is its purpose? How can this situation change me to look more like God?
Yes.
So when I want to kill them, do y'all see the pattern here? Why do I want to kill them? Do you think if Jesus was here, He would kill them?
No.
No. I'm not saying He won't discipline them, but there's a big difference between discipline and making them look black and blue in your heart. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I have to go, Father, what is this that's triggering this anger in me? And You're wanting to do a deep work in me, and this circumstance is showing that I'm not quite as good as I thought I was. Before Susan and I got married, I'd read a pile of books on marriage. I thought I was the most unselfish person that could ever be on the planet.
Whoa.
And when we got married, I started to realize I was perfect, but she was not. Because it created these desires in me. I'm using sarcasm here. And I started to realize, my gosh. What is this in me that's getting out of whack? Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
And then I got to a place of stabilization. I grew in maturity. I didn't understand this language now, but this was an opportunity for my emotional soul to get stronger and look more like Jesus. And I got better at it.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to say good, but I got better. And there wasn't quite as many conflicts. Why? Because I was dying to selfishness that the obstacle showed me. And I'm like, man, this is pretty good. I'm cruising. Because we were about 10 years before we had kids. You know, I had 10 years to try to do this. Some of you had like a year or less until you had kids. I couldn't have done it. It was God's grace that it was 10 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I thought, man, I've got this down pretty good. Then we had our first child, which you know most of is Abigail. She had colic for 3 hours. Screamed for 3 hours for 9 months every night. Okay, this is a whole nother level of selfishness. Because if you held her and rocked her, she would sort of calm down 3 hours every night for 9 months. I thought I was going to die. I mean, we'd started this church. I was so tired. I was wore out. And so I can put language on it now that I couldn't then. Father, what is it in me that is allowing me not to be patient? Help me to see this as an opportunity to grow. And by the way, help heal her at the same time. And she stopped after 9 months. I don't know if it was God's grace or maybe I finally learned to be at peace with it. We've got a fairly new car for long reasons. It broke down a second time this week, just dead on the side of the road. This thing rose up inside of me. This was Monday night. Rose up inside of me again. Oh, my gosh, I just don't need this. Why am I being persecuted with this? I mean, still making payments on this thing. Now, I didn't say that out loud. I'd matured enough. But it was still inside. How many of you see? Instead, and I'm teaching on this thing this week, and I totally forgot this lesson. This is an opportunity. What is it in me that I need to rejoice and count all things as good and rejoice? I was not following this lesson. About halfway to Walmart, I started going, all right. It seems like I've heard this somewhere. I need to see this as an opportunity. Father, help me to grow in patience because my schedule is being interrupted. Yes, there's a problem with the car. Yes, we had to put it in the shop. Yes, we had to do all that. But there was something in me. I was not walking in rest and peace. And you know, God cares more about me looking like Him if He was here than that car being fixed. I don't like that. See, to me, maturity is no problems. The height of Christianity is everything always smooth. But you know, God could deliver us from all that, but He doesn't. And so, if I handled that right, next time one of you guys call or hear about your car breaking down, I can just, you know, say with authority, it'll be all right. Relax, readjust your schedule. Whatever you had scheduled was not as important as this. Why can I say that? Because I've lived through that thing and walked through that thing. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now this is the problem. It says in Ephesians, we are seated at the right hand of God the Father and inheriting all of His heavenly blessings. I don't feel like that most of the time. We live in this dichotomy. It's almost schizophrenia. Here's the natural. In my spirit is the way Jesus thinks. That's why we got to develop a relationship with Him and learn to hear His voice, read His word, walk by His principles. What He's trying to do is pull what's in the heavens, pull what God's mind is like, Jesus' mind's like, into you. And I wish He could do, how many of you are Star Trek fans? How many of you are, let's do a quiz. How many of you like Star Wars better than Star Trek? About a third of you. How many of you like Star Trek better than Star Wars? A few. How many of you just don't care? And you're going, Craig is just a geek. Craig is the geek sci-fi. Whatever. That had no spiritual significance, but it was fun. But for those of you that are Star Trek fans, remember Spock could lay his hands on people and do a mind melt. I wish Jesus would just lay hands on me and do a mind melt. Yeah. Just a couple hours in the closet, prayer closet with Him, and I come out glowing. And I'm just walking. Don't get near me. I can do it all. I can walk on water. Instead, it's little bits and snippets, and maybe by the time I die, I might be I'll be a little closer. But He uses these obstacles. So when obstacles come, this is what you need to do. Thank you, Jesus, for this thing. I wish You had delivered me from it, but it's here. And You're welcome to deliver me from it anytime. But I will go through this with the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, which are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That means I got to pull into you first. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the biggest devil in my life is between my ears.
Yes, sir.
It's the way I think. It's the habit patterns that I just naturally fall into. And so, Father, I just say, let me rest in You for a few minutes. Maybe speak in tongues, maybe speak in English, just praise. Probably shouldn't do that at the Walmart cash register line. But if you know, do it under your breath or if you're by yourself. Say, Father, I submit myself to You. What do You want me to do? How do You want me to respond in this circumstance? Yes, and pray for wisdom how to go through it. I had to pray for wisdom with this crazy car, what to do. It's a long story. It was an electrical problem. How many of you know electrical problems are not fun? I think we finally got it after the second round. But another thing, and so obstacles are opportunities to look like Him. and exercise his mind in the situation. Now, when you read the Gospels, we know Jesus never sinned. But look at how many obstacles he came up against. It says in Hebrews 5, 7 through 10, it says that his obedience made him perfect. He had to learn how to obey and walk like him in normal life. So if you stay in here all the time and Sean's singing with his great voice and everybody's loving on you, there's no problems in here. Might have brought some in, but there's typically no obstacles in here. But as soon as you leave here, you don't hear Sean's voice in the background. People may not be loving you and they may be cussing you. And as you look through the scriptures, you see Jesus had tons of opportunities to obey and to walk in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They were trying to kill him and they eventually did. I've not gotten that far yet, and I hope I never do. So see obstacles as opportunities.
Yes, sir.
In all of the obstacles, there is an opportunity to increase in having his mind and the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Are we going to think more like Jesus and act more like Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Or are we just going to stay in the same habit patterns? So, I can't remember who said it. I've heard it a bunch. That warriors run to the sound of battle.
That's right.
This is sort of what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not inviting obstacles. I like my recliner, watching TV and soda and chips just as much as anybody else. But let's be honest. If I stay in that recliner all the time, never go to work, never do what I want to, somebody's going to come and repo my recliner. You follow what I'm saying? Because I'm not independently wealthy. Maybe you are. We talk a lot about warriors. We talk a lot about overcoming. We talk about the kingdom of God coming into the earth. There is a measure of the sovereignty of God in that, but it's a small measure. Most of it is us learning to walk as he walks. Third point. First one was view obstacles as opportunities. Look for increases in your obstacles. And the last one is believe his promises, not obstacles. And this is where it's hard. If you're totally raised on the Western diet and thinking of rationality and enlightenment, you never connect with the supernatural. This is why it's so important. We started off with the enemies of your soul to learn to rest. Said, be still and know that I am God. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we live by faith. Y'all know the rest of it. Not by sight. In the 80s, I was part of the charismania movement. There was a lot of good things, but there was a branch of it that got a little off that denied there were problems. If there were any problems, you didn't have faith. It's just not true. I mean, look at Jesus. He had problems all the time.
Yeah,
we're not going to make that about him. But he lived believing that I can, if God doesn't deliver me from these things, he will give me the strength to go through it. And then I have victory over it.
Yes.
I mean, here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was about to happen. He was going to be wrongly accused. He was going to get 39 lashes. He was going to be hung on a cross. And every devil in hell was going to rush it. And that's why he was so stressed out. Not in a sinful way, but stressed out. He sweated blood in that garden. And he said, can you take this thing from me? It's all right to ask that. I ask it all the time. Can you take this thing from me? But not my will, your will. And so if he doesn't take it from you, realize he's going to give you the strength and the wisdom, the peace, whatever you need to go through it.
Yes, sir.
And after he was crucified, he said it is finished. And if he hadn't gone through it, he wouldn't have been set. He wouldn't have been able to have the authority to say, now the keys of death and hell I have. It's only going through circumstances and learning how to correctly walk with the Lord that additional authority is given. How many of you have seen somebody and you go, that's a wise man of God? Or even a wise man. We all know somebody.
Yes, sir.
That's a wise man. Could be a wise man of God. If you see a wise man or a wise woman, generically, know this. They've been through some stuff.
Yes, sir.
And the difference was it didn't allow them to push them down. Or if it was, it was temporarily. They said, Father, how do I get through this thing? How do I get through the cross? And then that's who you go to when you need help in certain areas. Because they have authority over it because they went through it. And some of the reasons we go through problems, we go, is it me that's so messed up? Maybe. But some of the reasons you're going through it is to learn lessons of how to walk through it.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a whole cadre of people coming behind you that need your leadership and guidance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was a major shift for me in the ministry. For a long time, I thought every burden to pray, every intercession, every groaning, every trial was all about me. And there was something I needed to learn. But this is what I know. God doesn't waste anything. And as soon as I got through it and got some authority over it or some perspective on it, here comes a whole bunch of people. And the Lord said, I will multiply what happened to you and you can help take these people through faster.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so everything's not about us. It starts with us. But I guarantee you this, whatever you're going through, whatever heartache it is, whatever trial, tribulation is you'll say, Father, let me see this as an opportunity. What are you trying to do here? Give me increase in this area so that I can get victory over it and never have a problem or reduce the problems with it. I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up to lead others. Because this is just how He works.
Yes, sir.
Financial stuff. We're overextended. Father, give me help in this overextension. Help them not to take my recliner. I really like my recliner. They can have the couch over there. I don't really care much about the couch. We're going to keep the recliner. Father, what do I need to learn? Well, you know, maybe my unrenewed mind doesn't know self-discipline to do a budget. Maybe my unrenewed mind doesn't know, how to walk through the physical stuff. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the devil trying to take me out. And I'm budgeting right, I'm walking right, but I'm still going to believe that I have never seen the righteous begging for bread.
Amen.
Because you know, there's a part we do and there's a part He does.
Yes, sir.
And part of this is we've got to do our part, but sometimes He's also got to do His part. Every assignment is an invitation to walk with Him. And He makes sure there's a part that He does and you do because He likes walking with us more than just solving our problems. He's not Santa Claus.
Oh, amen.
Even though He's more generous than Santa Claus, He's not Santa Claus.
Yes, sir.
Santa Claus gives without any desire to mature to walk with you. I mean, I've had Santa Claus at my house a bunch of times, and he's never come and asked me for a conversation. He just takes my cookies and milk and leaves. I feel a little robbed, but usually his presents are better than mine. Pretty good, so. But Jesus, He just doesn't come and get my cookies and milk. He wants to drink the cookies and milk while He's sitting at my table. Amen. Let's stand.
Hallelujah, brother.
Well, Father, I just thank You for every person here. Every person here has obstacles. It's just life. It's because of the result of sin in the earth. It's a result of us not thinking like He does. It's a result of, a lot of times, not even our fault. It just happens. The devil tries to stop us. Lord, I thank You that there are warriors here. There are people here that we're all learning. We submit ourselves to You and say, help us to have Your mind about these obstacles. Show us what's in us or around us that You want to give us victory. And keep this in mind. It's not always something we're doing wrong. It may be keys to get through it so that we can be stronger leaders to help other people get through it. You never can tell. But Father, in Jesus' name, just help us to walk like you. As John 5 says, Jesus said, I only do what I saw the Father doing. And help us to walk, as Sean, several people talked about in worship, to walk in rest. There may be chaos. There may be even all hell breaking all around us. But we can walk in rest.
Yes, sir.
On the inside. There's the storm that come up on the lake, and Jesus was so in rest, he slept through it. Father, make me like that.
Yes, sir.
And then he woke up and it's like, wow, this is a big obstacle. We're all going to die. I'm sure his mind said that. But he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He didn't say this, but we know from his pattern. He got up and realized it was demonic. It wasn't any part on his part. He says, I rebuke the storm in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
There's times we have to externally do stuff with circumstances, and there's times we need to do stuff inside of us. And that's why it's so important to walk closely with the Lord. Father, I thank you that this whole church is a church of restful warriors. In Jesus' name. And I just bless you with the Father's blessing that you'll know Him better than you've ever known Him before.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you want to be a part of a prophetic team, I'm going to come over here. On